Let us pray. God, singing reminds us that faith involves all of our bodies. That's not just something we do with our heads. That is not just the emotions we feel. As we breathe in, we breathe out. All of us takes part. May this service, may this sermon remind us that you long for all of us. Amen. A few years ago, John Bell, the great liturgist, whose song we will sing in just a bit, was asked, what object best symbolizes the Mennonite tradition? How would you answer such a question? Maybe you would choose a dove or an olive branch that finds its way into almost every Mennonite church. Perhaps you would select a basin or a towel, given how foot washing is considered one of the distinctives of our tradition. Or maybe you would choose an open Bible, symbolizing our appreciation to the teachings of Jesus. But Bell didn't choose any of these symbols. Instead, Bell selected the pitch pipe, because that is what enables our church to sing. After answering, John Bell went on to challenge Mennonites to see singing as the vocation which God is calling us to practice in the 21st century, in a time when many Western Christians are substituting performance for participation, extolling the vocal or instrumental dexterity of a few and disdaining the voice of the congregation. It's time for Mennonites, he said, to reform the broader church again and help it see that the most important musical sound in worship is the voice of the people. Then he concluded by praying that God would bless us, the Mennonite church, with the faith of the pitch pipe, which enables the rest of the universal church to sing again. John Bell gave us a pretty lofty vocation to live into, to be the church of the pitch pipe. But I think John Bell is right. Singing is the defining practice of our faith tradition. Some traditions center around communion, others around preaching. But singing is how we tell our story. It's how our faith comes alive. And it appears that singing has been the crucial component of our faith since almost the beginning. I say almost, because in perhaps the oldest communication of the Anabaptist movement, a letter by Conrad Grebel, Felix Manz, and Andreas Kasselberger, all individuals who were involved in the very first baptisms, almost 500 years ago, they implored Thomas Münzer to denounce congregational singing and worship. In that letter, they state, "We understand that you have translated and composed new hymns. This cannot be good, because we find in the New Testament no teaching or example of singing." Fortunately for us, all of these men later recognized the error in their ways. In fact, in our blue hymnal, it even includes a baptism hymn written by Felix Manz, "I Sing with Exaltation." So these remarks make me wonder, what would the Mennonite church be today if there was no singing? Would there be even a Mennonite church? I doubt so. For the earliest of Anabaptists, singing songs of praise in their common tongues, that's what sustained them. And it's also what attracted so many people to the movement of faith. They sang wherever they could, in forests and caves, on the streets, in prisons, and even in pubs. And what I love about those early Anabaptists is they frequently put new words to popular folk tunes, even contemporary secular songs. As Mennonite historian Christian Neff reminds us, a flood of religious songs poured over this young movement, like a vivifying and refreshing stream. The songs became the most strong attractive force for the movement. They sang themselves in the hearts of many, clothed in popular tunes. They were mostly martyr songs, which bring an atmosphere of readiness to die and a touching depth to their faith. Ever since then, it is singing which has nurtured our spirits. It has become our sacrament, if we dare to use that word. It is how we feel most comfortable offering to God our confessions and our praise. It's how we long for healing and transformation vocally, and for hope and for joy. And it's how a number of us still tend to say grace around the table today. When people are asked why they attend Mennonite conventions, the number one reason they state is to sing. And last year, when members of San Francisco Mennonites were discerning how they might become involved in the National People's Poor Campaign, a number of members decided that they would protest through singing. Periodically, about a couple dozen of adults and children would gather in the lobbies of local banks and just have a hymn sing. It was their way of protesting against these banks' unjust practices, which were exacerbating the inequalities in their neighborhoods. As they sang, they even changed and modified the lyrics to some of our beloved songs. For example, the song we sang this morning, "Come Let Us All Unite to Sing," they changed, "Come Let Us All Unite to Sing to Vote to Make It Fair." Mennonites have always been a community of singing. We are the church of the pitch pipe, for this is what brings our faith alive. And that's why I'm so excited for the new hymnal, Voices Together. Not because we need a new hymnal per se, though the blue hymnal is 2 years older than Stefan. Can you believe that? It's already been around longer than the red hymnal and also its predecessor. So it's probably time for us to incorporate a new generation of songs that also represent the explosion of diversity, which is now part of the larger Mennonite church. But the real reason I am so excited about Voices Together is because this shows our continued commitment to congregational singing. It declares that we want to continue this tradition of singing so that the next generations can fall in love with it too. Today, so many churches are moving away from hymnals. They are moving away from congregational singing as well. By producing a new hymnal in this age today, we are making a profound statement that we long for congregational singing to be the bedrock of our faith for generations to come. That we are stepping up to John Bell's challenge to show the world that the most important musical sound in worship is, in fact, the voice of the people. However, there's another reason that I'm also excited for Voices Together. Because in the last 20 years or so, there has been an explosion of interest by Mennonites in songwriting. In the blue hymnal, out of all those songs, only about 60 were written or composed by Mennonites. When the new hymnal committee requested song selections, they got over 2,200 songs submitted, and about half of them, over 1,000, were written by Mennonites. Mennonites who are longing to express their beliefs and struggles, their doubts and their longings through music. So much has changed in our world since 1992. And so much has changed within our tradition too. Like how we understand our faith. How we think through theological issues like the environment, the life of Jesus, and the atonement. This new hymnal, it's a way of honoring and thanking all these Mennonites who are wrestling with their world and their faith through music. For example, "I Will Sing With You," which we sang a few weeks ago, that was written by a Mennonite pastor when the people in his church, whom he loved deeply, were disagreeing fiercely. So Nathan wrote this song because he believes that sung worship has the power to shape identity. It can alter how we look out upon one another. By creating a new hymnal, we are inspiring our fellow Mennonites to keep searching for ways to bring their faith alive through music. In a few minutes, y'all will be invited to sing a hymn that I wrote a few years ago. Now, I'm not a great hymn writer. I didn't feel led to submit it when they requested submissions. But as a pastor, I know, much to my detriment, that what sticks with people, that what really affects their faith is not a great sermon, but a great song. Songs are what we tend to remember in the darkest moments of our lives. They are what we turn to when we can't find words for ourselves. So I wrote, "Christ the Lord has come to save us," because I was frustrated with a number of our hymns' theology about Christ's death and resurrection. I was tired of singing about songs that Jesus' death somehow appeased God's justice, that it was his blood that sets us free. How are we to be a people of nonviolence if we think that the violence of the cross was necessary and commanded by God? So I wrote this hymn as a way of joining my other Mennonite brothers and sisters, writers and preachers, who are searching for ways to think about the atonement nonviolently. As I was writing it, I turned to Paul's writings, particularly his apocalyptic theology, which is found in the book of Galatians, to highlight how it really was Jesus' faithfulness that liberated us and the entire world forever. Maybe some of you struggle to understand and express the meaning of Jesus' atonement as well. And if so, I hope that these lyrics resonate with you. This is just one of the contributions of many today who are longing to see the Mennonite church continue to be the church of the pitch pipe. Because I believe that John Bell is right. We have been blessed by God with a great gift, the gift of congregational singing. That's what brings our faith alive. It's what propels our faith in every possible direction. So let us continue to see singing as our calling. Let's see it as the sacrament which holds and binds us together, which enables us to hold and keep the theology which we hold so dear. Let us be the church of the pitch pipe. Let us sing to the Lord a new song. And as we do so, let us trust that it is through our songs that God is giving us a faith with flesh and blood and breath that is ushering us into new realms of God's grace and God's glory. Amen.